He was the one behind it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to call our public safety committee meeting to order. In attendance with us, we have today Councilman George Smiley, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Tackett, Co-Chairman Councilman Jay Street, and Councilman Cartier, my legislative aide Karen Barlow. What's your pleasure with the minutes of the previous meeting?
Motion approved.
Second.
Motion made and second to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Want to make one announcement here in the beginning of the meeting. We had actually sent out an email to the Public Safety Department, not realizing that Chief Tan is actually on vacation this week. But we had actually sent out a request as a follow-up to the budget. We had asked for a detailed presentation on the future contract with the medical center as it relates to the MOT paramedic station, and taking a look at the new class and staffing, you know, how that'll all come together in the future as far as different areas of the county. So with that being said, with Chief Tan being on vacation, we felt that, you know, we'll go ahead and put that off to a future meeting so that, you know, he could be in attendance, and that way we're hearing it directly from the division chief as far as what, you know, what his goals and objectives are in the future and what we're doing. So, Councilman Street, would you be agreeable to touch on ordinance number 12065? And we're joined by Council President Pro Tem, Councilman Penrose Collins.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This ordinance, as per title, would amend the grants budget, appropriate funding to assist in the purchase of a driving simulator for training.
Okay. I think it's pretty clear as title, and we've talked about it a number of times, just trying to get, I think, the funding in the right place to make it a reality. We're very pleased this afternoon to have with us Deborah Brown. She is the Chief Executive Officer of the American Lung Association of the Mid-Atlantic States. And today she's joined us, and she's going to make a presentation on other tobacco-type products and things that are affecting our youth today. And we all look towards tobacco as being cigarettes and everything. So with that, I want to thank Councilman Smiley. He happened to be down at the state legislature, which he does spend quite a bit of time on our behalf down there, and they had made a presentation in Dover on other tobacco products. And so Councilman came back and mentioned this, and so we're, like I say, we're very pleased to have Deborah Brown with us. So with that, please join us at the table, and
we appreciate it. Is it okay if I just stand? I think I can work better if I do that. Again, I want to thank you all for letting me come and speak today about other tobacco products. Over the past 10 to 11 years, we've really seen a dramatic decrease in the number of our youth who are smoking cigarettes. Actually, about a 54% decrease. And one of the things that we are seeing, though, on the flip side of that, is our young people are starting to use other tobacco products, things such as cigars, smokeless tobacco, etc. And so right now we have about 12% of our high school students using cigars, little cigars, 7% using chewing, tobacco, and snuff, and then 4% of our youth who don't use tobacco products, cigarettes, I should say, smoke cigarettes at all, are still using these other tobacco products. And when I say to other tobacco products, I really do have or mean a list of products. And so that's things such as cigars, little cigars, snuff, roll your own, snus, pipe tobacco, and cigarillos. So I want to make sure, like, everyone knows what I'm talking about when I mention that. About 2.5-3 years ago, the president signed something called the Family Smoking Prevention and Tobacco Control Act. And this was the first time that someone at the federal level had responsibility or authority to oversee tobacco in general. And so the FDA was given authority to oversee these products. And it was wonderful. They've hired a director. They have money. There's a user fee that comes in to help fund this, so it's not coming out of taxpayers' dollars, etc. But one of the things that, you know, we look at, we say, well, this is great news. We have someone finally overseeing all of our tobacco products. And in some ways, it's very good news because there are some products that have been taken off the market that young people were really enticed by, flavored cigarettes, for example. There are some advertising initiatives that have come forth that are really making a huge difference. But in reality, there are still some problems associated with tobacco use. And one of the things that we find is the tobacco industry is very smart, and they're always 10 steps ahead of us who work in the nonprofit field. And one of the things that has happened is along the way, the tobacco industry has been forced to deal with outside issues such as clean indoor air laws. It really curtailed a lot of people smoking because they're not allowed to smoke inside. There are taxes on cigarettes. Many times the industry really fought those two initiatives, but they're kind of leaning towards, you know, we'll fight them, but it's not our battle. The one area that we find that they really come in and fight hard on is a tax on other tobacco products. And I'm hoping to show you and talk to you a little bit about why this is happening and why this really is a public safety issue for our young people. So the industry, as I said, has been very smart. Here in Delaware, we tax our cigarettes at $1.60 per pack, and we tax our other tobacco products at 15% of wholesale. So the wholesaler comes in and they pay 15% of that price to the state in order to be able to sell their products. So there's a tax inequity issue. And so if we were to make sure that other tobacco products were being taxed the same as cigarettes, it would be 70% of wholesale, and it would be a lot more expensive for young people. But as a result, we have 15%. So there's some new products on the market. These are called snus, and you might have seen these in the grocery store, Wawa, wherever you go and you see cigarettes. And I'm going to pass them around. Snus is almost like a little tea bag, and you'll see from the can, used to be, before smartphones took over everything, it was really shaped like a smartphone. So young people could use this product. They could hide it. Someone might think they have a smartphone in, or a cell phone in their pocket or their pocketbook, not necessarily knowing that it was tobacco. Inside this little, and this one is yellow because I've had it for so long, but inside this little bag is nicotine, tobacco, etc. And basically you put it in your mouth and you suck on it and you swallow. You don't have to spit. No more old days where you have to worry about spitting in a bottle, although people still do that. These products will cost anywhere between $2.20 to maybe $2.50. So again, very inexpensive for our young people to get. I'm going to pass these around a while and I'll continue speaking about them, just so you can have a chance in case you've never seen them before. The other interesting thing about this product is when you go into a convenience store or wherever these are sold, mainly convenience stores, you will see.
Deborah, would you want to entertain questions as you go along?
Oh, I can.
Or would you rather
sure.
Be? Okay, we're also joined with Council President Tom Kovac. President Kovac.
You're probably just going to tell us, are these age restricted?
They are.
Access to this? Okay.
They are. But. These particular products, the way they're sold is there's a little refrigerator. So when you go in, you are going to notice this now. You might not have noticed it before. There's a little refrigerator. It's about this big, maybe about this wide, and these products are placed in there. Remember I told you the percentage is 15% of wholesale. Well, Delaware has a very unique little carve-out. We have another tax on other tobacco products that is 54 cents per ounce for fine snuff. These particular products are called fine snuff products. So these are more or less a carve-out, and so it's cheaper, even though I'm saying 54 cents per ounce, it's cheaper, a cheaper tax on these particular products. So going back to the refrigerator, they sell them in the refrigerator because they're sealed, and what happens is once you open the can, the moisture gets in the can, so then they weigh more. But when you sell the product, you're selling it without that occurring, so they weigh less and they cost less. So that's why we can get them between $2 to $2.50. So take a peek now when you go in the store and you'll see snooze. The other thing is you'll see there's two different versions. They repackage them. So one is the older and one is the new. The other thing that has come out recently to go along with this is, you know, one tobacco company couldn't let the other outdo them, so they've come up with the Marlboro Snooze 5-pack. So this particular pack is anywhere from $1.50 to $1.75, but you can get five of these. And again, think about if you're a young person, you go into a corner store, even though they're age restricted, we still know that some people sell. You can all pony up 25 cents and get a pack of these and easily partake. But the other interesting thing is, even for those who can legally purchase these products, we're starting to see a lot more people, because they can't smoke indoors, and the way these products are being marketed, they utilize these, use these when you can't smoke indoors or when you're flying. So what's happening is people are starting to take their cigarette pack, and these are our, what we call Barbie cigarettes because everything's hot pink, but they take their cigarettes and they put the 5-pack of snus in the front of there, and we now have people, what we call dual users, people who are not only smoking cigarettes, but they're now using snus. And so it makes it more difficult for them to quit smoking. It makes it more of a challenge for anyone who's trying to help them quit smoking, because you're now dealing with two different products and you're still dealing with a very large addiction. And the other interesting fact that, I'll just kind of go on from here. I'll pass these around. They're not open, but they look like the other packs as well. So these, as I said, are $1.50 to $1.79. You can get them pretty much anywhere. The other products that are not currently on the market but that are headed in our direction are the most disturbing from my standpoint. Maybe some of you won't find it as disturbing, but we have something called Orbs. These are like little Tic Tacs. And so these are the old packaging. The industry actually did a test market of these in Columbus, Ohio, Portland, Oregon, and Indianapolis, Indiana. And what they did was they put these on the market, they let people use them, they asked questions, and they found out all the research they said that they needed to know. And what they found out was the packaging of the originals were a little too hard for people to use. So they've since repackaged them, and they look very much like the snooze can that we sent around earlier. But I'm going to pass these around, and then I'll pass one of the actual, what I call tic-tac-like products. These are called dissolvables. These are the new market. This is what the industry is really going to start hitting all of us with. And the interesting thing about dissolvables is the industry has found that there's a very big market among women. So we've done all this work to try and encourage women to quit smoking, and we now are putting out products that we know is very appealing. They're also very appealing to young people. They contain 1 milligram of nicotine in each pellet, and we know that 1 milligram can make an infant vomit or nauseous. 5 milligrams can really make them go into convulsions, and that has happened throughout the country. Where people have let these lay, you know, once they're out of the package, and young children have been able to get them. But they really have released this in new markets now to test it, and as I say, it's coming up that a lot of young people and women are very attracted to these products. The next product that I just want to mention is something, and I only have one of these, but I'll pass it around. If you ever have seen the breath strips that you put on your tongue and they dissolve, Listerine strips, well, these are called strips. They're the exact same thing. They contain about 0.6 milligrams of nicotine in them. You put them on your tongue, and that's the new way to get your fix your nicotine addiction. We also have something called sticks. And these, again, come in the very same similar packages. But these sticks are something that you stick in the side of your mouth, put it in there. Again, you swallow this, and just in case you want to see what they look like. They also contain nicotine. They contain about 3.1 milligrams of nicotine. And so these products are very real. As they say, snus right now is the big thing among young people, but dissolvables are on their way. Just recently, the industry has put out a new product. The new product is called Verve, and they're test marketing it in Virginia. It is, you get 16 of these little mint-flavored discs, and you chew on them and suck on them. And when you're done with these, you discard these. But again, if someone is, young person is sitting in class, very nonchalantly puts one of these in, no one will ever know that they're tobacco products. So I bring this to you only because we know that they're headed in this direction. We also know that there are still a lot of young people out there using tobacco products. And we also know that a lot of our children, I know this is public safety, a lot of our children are being exposed to secondhand smoke. And so one of the projects that we just recently implemented was there were 9 towns that received mini grants up to $10,000. And it enabled them to take a look at areas within their particular jurisdiction that they would like to see go smoke-free. And so many of them looked at parks and recreation areas outdoors. There were some beaches, there were some boardwalks, and there were some historical areas that have all chosen to go smoke-free with the help of the $10,000 mini-grant. We will be opening up an opportunity again probably in August to apply for $10,000 mini grants again, and maybe that's something that you all might want to consider. You have libraries where young people are walking into those facilities exposed to secondhand smoke. There are other parks and other recreational areas that you might want to consider as smoke-free areas. But we felt that it was important to make sure you were educated because, as I said, we know these products are heading in our direction. Be glad to take questions.
Councilman Smiley.
Just a couple of observations, if I can, in my discussion in the state legislature when I was exposed to this and we were talking. And one of the big concerns and one of the things they're finding is because these products are not packaged like the cigarette, like the ones in the refrigerator and all, there's more of a propensity of the younger people actually buying them because, you know, their friend from school is working in the local store. Most people aren't going to notice this. I mean, it looks like a pack of mints, the droids or whatever, whereas putting a pack of Camel or a pack of Marlboro on the counter, somebody says, well, you know, hey, I saw them sell cigarettes to a minor. They make the call. This is kind of slipping under that radar. And the only other observation, and again, I've been amazed by this since I first discovered it a few years back, is as a result of the tobacco settlement, the states get funds. Ironically, we get funds to combat smoking. But the amount of funds we get is determined by the amount of tobacco sales. So the more tobacco sales you have in the state, the more money you get to fight smoking. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but that explains why we try to get the sales outlets close to the turnpike. So they take the cigarettes and go, but we still get the sales bit of it.
Well, and there's some interesting things when you're looking at the surrounding area. Pennsylvania has $1.60 per pack on their cigarettes, a 20-pack. They, however, have no tax on these products. I mean, we're at 15% of wholesale, which is rather low, but they have zero. And so the one thing that we have going for us, if we want to look at it that way, is that Delaware has no sales tax, and so people are willing to come across the line to purchase these products. But you're absolutely right when you say that these will get into the hands of young people. I've seen it. I've been in stores where, you know, people will have someone older go in and purchase the product. And so, you know, it's our job then to call and make sure that we report that underage sales are taking place in those particular stores. But in the city, I also think that there's a unique situation, because we still do, whether, you know, and we want to believe it or not, but we still do have people who sell, break apart things and sell, you know, cigarette here, a cigarette there, a handful here, a handful there. You know, I don't know how they're going to break apart these, but I'm sure there are ways that they've already thought of that I'm not aware of.
Councilman Tackett, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, and then Councilman Powers, and then we'll come over to President Cody.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, exactly. I don't know, sometimes think, you know, how naive we are. You know, I had no clue of all this stuff. I guess none of this is available mail order.
You know what? I don't know. Snus, probably. Snus is available mail order. If you go on mail order, you can get a whole variety of other tobacco-related products. We have something here in Delaware called the Kick Butts Generation, the KBG. I know that they've been working on a project, and you can go on, you can get something that you inhale. Probably snus and regular cigarettes, and I'm guessing even cigars are available. The newer products, just because they're only being test marketed in certain places at this point, until they're ready to go full market, probably not.
Okay. Well, hopefully we can look at ways, like you said, you know, to apply for any grants that are out there, and look at, you know, doing what we could do to stamp this out and prevent smoking, not only in the youth, you know, but as much as we can do in the adults too, really helps.
Absolutely, especially those dual users.
Yeah, that was like intriguing. You said dual users on the.
Believe me, it's a huge discussion out there in the public health field now.
So. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I guess I have one concern and one question. In places like the casinos, are we going to see vending machines? Is that something that you're seeing in other places of the country?
We have not. And I would hope, we have legislation here in Delaware that does not permit the sale of, I would have to go back and look if it just says cigarettes or whether it says tobacco products. If not, you know, and if that becomes a trend, we may need to amend that piece of legislation. Mm-hmm. But we clearly were ahead of the game here in Delaware when we got rid of vending machines. But no, I have not seen that. You know, Delaware is in a unique situation where we're one of, you know, a handful of states that do not allow smoking in our casinos.
And my other question, I guess, is in my mind, and I'm not a smoker, this is a little more, to me, I guess, on a drug level rather than a cigarette level. With smoking, there is some sort of socialization. You know, you have a cup of coffee, you have a cigarette, you talk on the phone, you have a cigarette. I mean, people that have smoked say sometimes it's the habit more than the addiction that they had trouble breaking. You know, once they got through the detox, when they picked up the phone, they felt like they should reach for a cigarette, or after dinner, they should reach for a cigarette. This, are you finding that this is with people that were smokers, that when they go into a smoke-free building, they're using this for the nicotine, or is it something that where you're seeing kids are starting with this and not going from cigarette to this?
And I'm going to be real honest, I don't think that we have enough research to be able to determine, because these products are fairly new, and even FDA just did their most recent report on it and found that there wasn't enough data or research. But I can tell you from what I've seen in some of the other states is that people use it for the nicotine addiction process because they can't smoke during the day. So they don't have to go out and take smoke breaks. They can just pop one of these. No one knows. You know, one of the interesting things is we have a lot of people that we call closet smokers who work in larger corporations. They don't want the corporation to know that they smoke, because that is considered a potential health risk for that particular company. And so these products will help them in some ways deal with their nicotine addiction during the day, and then they can, you know, smoke in the evening if they so desire, etc.
So, not being a smoker, I don't know what you get from cigarettes. I mean, I don't know the high that you get. Mm-hmm. But I guess my question at some point would be, are we going to start marketing this like the underground kind of drugs are marketed to get a high? Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't have to be the smoker that wants to just hide their smoking when they're in a public place. Mm-hmm. You know, that this would go just as a, you get something from this, so mm-hmm. try it.
That could very real happen. I just don't know the answer. I mean, you know, I can tell you this particular pellet has, if you've noticed, it has a camel on it, and probably some of our fellow police officers here can identify. Apparently there are designer drugs out there that have this exact, I mean, I pulled it up on the internet. I can verify that it's there. I don't know how it's used, but it looks just like this. So, you know, maybe there is an underlying opportunity that the industry sees for those type of things. Absolutely.
Councilman Powers?
A couple questions. Mm-hmm. One, they're all tobacco products, I guess. There's a base of tobacco in them, even the pellet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can see it in the stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're saying the money going to stop smoking, but is it also stop using tobacco products?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, any prevention and cessation efforts that we do here in Delaware, it is to stop the use of all tobacco products. And especially because these products have become much more popular, especially among our young people, the cigars, the little cigar. You know, our efforts are to make sure that they know no matter what form of tobacco they're using, there is a risk and harm associated with that. And, you know, we don't know all the specifics about these, but yes.
Yeah. You were saying with Pennsylvania, one thing with Pennsylvania, it is a tobacco state. Meaning tobacco is grown in Pennsylvania.
I think you would be surprised at how little tobacco is grown in Pennsylvania. I work in that state as well.
Compared to maybe the Carolinas in the South, but if you know that I'm a farmer,
mm-hmm.
most of your farms in Lancaster County are only 40 acres. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of livestock. They may grow 8 acres or 10 acres of tobacco. The tobacco is being sold to buy the feed, to feed the cows, mm-hmm. to milk it because they don't have enough feed produced on it. It's a more intense, meaning work
mm-hmm.
product that turns around more of a profit per acre. So it may be less acres as you think, but the value, especially in Lancaster County,
mm-hmm.
is quite a bit. So. And I'm not being either side on
this. Oh, I know. I understand.
I mean, you got to remember, you don't know, I was with the Farm Bureau, and when you get into the Southern Farm Bureau states, it's gotten not as bad as what it used to be.
And I saw a hand, but there will be a time for public question and comment and everything. We're going to go to President Kovac, Councilman Retta, and then Councilman Cartier.
Thank you, Chair. Kind of following up on Councilwoman Kilpatrick's statement. If you're introducing a drug today and, you know, putting a nicotine and it wasn't tobacco related, somehow you would think that would be regulated by the FDA. And I'm not sure, just because it's tobacco related, how we would be able to kind of bypass that because it's produced from tobacco versus anywhere else. I mean, if, you know, Fred's drug company wanted to put out a nicotine product, theoretically, if it's not tobacco-based, they have to go through the FDA. If you're selling this stuff, it's...
Well, I'll just put it to you this way. At every turn, the FDA, as wonderful as the legislation that was passed to give them authority to regulate these products, at every turn, there is a barrier. For example, electronic cigarettes. I'm sure you've all seen the kiosk in the mall where you can purchase those cigarettes that don't really have any smoke or tobacco. They basically have nicotine in them. We call them a drug delivery device. They should be regulated by the FDA. However, the courts have told the FDA that no, they can't regulate those products.
And
sorry.
Following up on another issue, and Councilman Cartier is aware of this, and we've had complaints from the district about this, these shops that basically open up in warehouses, and they sell tobacco products in bulk. And we've received numerous complaints about, you know, that over the years. And, you know, apparently they're under a different, you know, they're in a loophole or some system where they can come in, open up these warehouses, and they're not supposedly selling to the public, but everybody knows they are.
They're wholesalers.
Yeah.
They're wholesalers.
So they're wholesalers, but they're selling directly to the public. I mean, so they're bypassing the...
Potentially, then maybe they are bypassing what they should be doing.
But do you see that as a problem? I mean, because people, if you go to the 7-Eleven, you're paying $1.50, something like that, for a pack in tax. Mm-hmm. So you go to these bulk, you know, outlets.
You know, I have to say, I haven't heard many complaints about that. So that's probably not as common as we think. I mean, I hear a lot of internet sales where people don't pay the tax for the internet sales. We hear of the stores popping up on the border, but I don't hear a whole lot about that, so I'd be real interested in maybe learning some more.
We could connect you with a constituent that has she's been for years kind of when they pop up from time to time. I'll get
okay.
your information and connect you.
That would be great.
Councilman Retta.
Thank you. A couple questions. One, sorry I came in a little late. I didn't see all the products when we were around.
Would you like to see them?
Nah, I'm quite familiar with some tobacco stuff. The one is that I don't know if you had it in there, is the gum tobacco. The nicotine gum. It's a tobacco. It's a nicotine.
It's
on the market.
It has nicotine in it.
And it's,
that's correct.
They put it in products that... Mm-hmm. I mean, in areas of stores where they sell like gum and things of that nature. So, but it is still a nicotine.
It is, and it is regulated by the FDA. Again, there's some inconsistencies there because it's considered basically almost like a drug. But yeah, there is.
I mean, you got 2 milligrams and you got 4 milligrams, and mm-hmm. some of the other products are even higher. They go up to 10 milligrams. Mm-hmm. And why? Because it's a drug. Like you said, the
difference with young people, I'll just be honest, the difference with young people is they won't go in and pay, you know, $50-$60 to get the nicotine gum. They will go in and pay $1.50 to $1.75 to purchase these products. So I mean, you know, I fully understand what you're saying,
right? And that's basically an introduction price, because later on they'll do the same thing they did with snuff. They'll raise it up to like a pack of cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Once they grab them. The other is, what is the FDA doing about the byproducts going into tobacco? Because the tobacco itself, and I think Bill can attest to that tobacco itself is not as bad for you as all the byproducts are putting in there.
Yeah, one of the things that the legislation that the president signed almost 3 years ago, one of the things that does is the industry will have to disclose what is in their product. And so they're working on that disclosure act as pretty much as we speak. And so there are stages where it was according to year how things were going to progress. And so that will be one of the things that starts to come up. And any new products, again, that's why I think the industry is trying to push a lot of these products out. Any new products will have to start going through that scrutinized by the FDA.
Well, you're saying that they have to disclosure. Mm-hmm. So technically, they're not taking them out.
They're not taking them out.
So they still have
the FDA.
They still have
them do that,
the problem in there of mm-hmm. somebody can get sick
mm-hmm.
one
Absolutely.
Way or another.
Absolutely.
Because that's what's doing at the byproducts.
But I will tell you, up until this point, we have never been able to even determine what is in a tobacco product.
Probably because they got good lobbyists.
I'm sure you're
Councilman
right on
Cartier.
That.
Yes. I think these products that you brought to us are incredibly insidious. They're cheaply priced, and you know, I think they have a huge addiction potential for people. And I just wondered if you would comment on the, you know, health negative health impacts from regular use of that type of, you know, tobacco product versus, you know, smoking a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what, you know, you found with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the newer products, we just, I just don't think there's enough evidence to be able to show. I can tell you, you know, what we're going to anticipate from the use of snus. Again, if you think about it, you're putting it in your mouth, you're sucking on this. So we're going to see decay in teeth. We're going to see, you know, dental problems. We're going to see, you know, pick your cancer. Jaw, cheek, you know, esophagus. I think we're going to see over the next couple years different types of cancers as a result of the use of these products, rather than maybe, you know, we'll still see lung cancer, but maybe not to the degree because people aren't inhaling the smoke. But I think we're still going to see all different types of cancers as a result of the use of this.
And I think, you know, the other thing that's particularly insidious about this is that maybe people will be thinking, well, I'm going to use tobacco this way, and I'm going to avoid negative impacts mm-hmm. from the use of the product, right?
Absolutely. And there's a big discrepancy in the public health field. There are a lot of people who think just, you know, who are saying, well, yeah, this is better because you're not breathing in smoke, there's no secondhand smoke. And then there's the whole other arena, public health arena, who's saying, you know, basically, again, and I don't mean to be cold, but pick your cancer. The other interesting thing I will say about these, and this is not, people put these between their toes because they're absorbed more quickly. And young women are using these vaginally because they are absorbed, the mucous membranes absorb it very quickly. So, you know, I say, you know, again, I don't think we know enough.
Wow.
But I can honestly tell you, I mean, those are stories, and those are real stories where that has happened.
Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Aren't there warning labels on some of these products that says that?
There's something on that.
Yeah, there are. There are warning labels on these products, and that is one of the things, you know, we're talking about the FDA earlier. The FDA had one of the parts of the legislation said that over 50% of every pack or can or whatever would be adorned with a warning label that was somewhat graphic. And right now that is being challenged and held up in court. The industry has come forth and said they think that it's a breach of freedom of speech and advertising rules. So
I think one of the things that, you know, you kind of summarize everything and look at everything that's been discussed is that emergency responders, small children, toddlers, you know, with a cigarette, mostly pretty clear whether somebody lights up a cigarette, mm-hmm. and not saying a child can't get a hold of a cigarette, but with this type of product, and we're in a day and age where we're trying to collect prescription drugs after folks get done using them, this type of product being in the household now,
mm-hmm.
and small tablets and things, I think that one of the things that we're going to be faced with is, from an emergency response standpoint, is maybe some toddlers that have ingested a handful of the little pills and whatnot. So, very, very dangerous situation. Other questions from council or comment? Councilman Spiner?
I just want to thank you for coming, and
my
pleasure. The organization for being out in the front, trying to publicize this and get the word out.
Well, thank
Appreciate
you
it very much.
My pleasure to be here.
Okay, one thing we're going to do, Deb, because there was a hand up and everything, is that we'll entertain if there, because it's a very interesting topic, very frustrating, but very informative and everything. Is there anyone from the public or from any of our public safety agencies or the administration has a question or a comment? Okay. Sir, please stand and state your name.
My name's Max Doolin. What I wanted to ask you about is how this product is different from legal regulated products like Nicorette, and if it actually has anything in it besides nicotine.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't know all of it. Does have nicotine. Majority of them have tobacco in them too. I don't know all of the products because, again, they don't need to be disclosed. It's a little bit different in that some of the products have tobacco in them, where Nicorette only has nicotine in them. And as we mentioned, you know, from a cost standpoint, you know, there's a huge difference, but. You know, usually you have to put a patch on you, or you can chew the gum, but it's not like regular chewing gum. So again, it's not something that I think young people would want to do, because you have to chew the gum, you have to park it, then you chew it again, then you park it. If you chew it like regular chewing gum, you will get sick. So there's a little bit of a difference.
Any other comment or question? Once again, we'd like to thank you very much for taking the
thank
time.
You.
And do you have, you know, for like public outreach programs, folks like yourself, or are there others that, if there were a larger civic type gathering that, you know, they were interested?
Absolutely. We would be more than happy to do that. And we also, whenever possible, involve our Kick Butts Generation, which is a youth tobacco control movement, because they're very engaged in this and outraged by what is happening. So we would include them as well.
Okay. Well, once again, thank
All
you
right.
very much
thank
for
you.
Your time. Okay. Other?
Another question. I guess I'm going to go right to public safety and attorneys in the room. There was a law passed that a community, you know, and being in the community about trailers and so forth being unhitched, but you have to be parked in front of your home, so big. And they were talking about the fines of $250. So I have two questions. One, I guess we're going to be like an unfunded mandate, our police department, to have to do this. And number two, do we get any of the money of the $250 fine? And if there's no answer now, can you, you know, please come back to the next public safety meeting to look more into it? Because I just found this out like last night at a civic meeting. The sponsor talked about it, and there was a lot of accolades, and I started thinking, who's going to take care of this? Let me make a call to my aide. I think we got a problem, you know.
Scott McLaren, Public Safety Chief of Police. We can get a breakdown, exact breakdown for you. There is a percentage that we retain from that. That will funnel through the magistrate court system, which is, you know, the state court system. Then we get a percentage at the end of the year. Or
was it free? We'll get fines.
Fines. Okay.
I'd be curious as to whether that's a land use versus a public safety.
It's on the road.
It's on the street.
It's on the street, public safety.
And it's unhitched, and they, you know, yeah, it's a trailer type deal. So first thing I thought of is, well, how come this isn't being done? We can hear this at civic meetings now, another product, because then everybody can just point to me and all of us here and say, well, it's their problem now. You can call them. So I just wanted to get the drift of it, if we could talk about it, maybe at the next public safety meeting.
Okay. Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, I just want to touch on it. Number one, I had mentioned this at a previous meeting.
Yes, you did.
Because it's been an issue for years. And I'll just say, Councilman Sheldon, I understand what you're saying, but as far as an unfunded mandate, I've been calling officers out on this over the last 5 or 6 years, but unfortunately there was no law to be able to do anything about it. You know, adverse impact on people getting in and out of their driveways, cul-de-sacs being taken up by people just dropping trailers everywhere but in front of their own home. But again, it has been signed by the governor. It's after I've been spreading the word to all my communities that I'm out there. As a matter of fact, we did a mailing and an emailing to them. The only time a trailer is allowed unhitched is if there's a contractor performing work at the home, and then it has to be dropped in front of that home. Other than that, that's being hooked to trailer. And the biggest proliferation, my problem that started 5-6 years ago, was with the food trailers being dropped in the streets in the residential neighborhoods that I had. I talked about that before. So just that's what it is. And quite honestly, for me, I've made no bones about it. I'm glad somebody down in Dover was willing to step up and
take And I'm not disagreeing forward. With
no,
the bill.
No, I understand.
I just want to make, you know, I know we're going to be able to do it. And We're short on police already. This is going to be another calls that are going to be called.
But it's no different than when they're unregistered. But as for me, I can tell you, I have copies of it. I can take it down in my van right now or in my office. I have copies. When I ride through my district, I see one in the street, I knock on the door. If anybody's home, I give them a copy of the bill and explain it. If they're not home, I leave my name, address, and I stick the bill in their door. Because I'm sure we're not going to hammer them right away. We're going to give them an opportunity, and I will give the senator credit. She sent it to the police department right away as soon as it was approved. So, but again, it's another safety issue in the roadways and in the communities. And the size is what was already on the books as far as vehicles. Right. Nothing in there was changed.
Under other? President Kovac?
Does that include boats?
Yes.
Boat trailers too?
Yep.
All trailers.
Other? Co-chairman, Councilman Street.
Well, I don't know what the answer to this is. But if you look at the news releases and the information we get, you know, somebody just shot up a house in Sparrow Run. You know, we got more and more shootings, more and more serious crime to deal with, and we got to find some mechanism other than our police officers to deal with some of these things. And that, I might as well get it all out, have them do with whatever we're going to do with trailers, whatever we're going to do. And parks, we're spending too much time, spending too much money, and the utilization of our police officers needs to be given priority to addressing major issues as opposed to some of these other things that are coming along. Not to say that they shouldn't be dealt with, but I'm just suggesting that we need to try to be creative and establish some other mechanisms to deal with some of these other things that, in my opinion, are much less important than some of the things that are on their front burner every day.
I think you're absolutely correct, and I think all of us would agree. You know, it's fascinating because we got complaints from citizens from Glasgow Park that they were ticketed for parking where they weren't supposed to be parked. And granted, there were a few that may have not seen the signs and everything. The other day, we get a call, and it's the reverse. It's the fact that people aren't being ticketed. The folks that are going to the basketball court or the skate park are parking on the grass, even across the walkways in the parks. And I think this kind of brings this topic around to the fact that who is going to handle these type of complaints in the future? We have no park guards, we have no one enforcing anything in the parks, and so there's other areas of enforcement that clearly become a burden of our police department. And our police department, if you look at the emails that we get day in and day out, 24 hours a day, you look at the criminal activity, the discharge of firearms, the threat to our officers, it's become more than serious. It's life-threatening to not only our officers, but to the community itself. So there's a lot of different things that we probably need to start looking at, and how creative are we going to get within some of the departments to handle some of their own issues. You know, we build a beautiful park, big park. Everyone comes to the park, and in some cases, some of it becomes a nightmare to us, because of the fact that people won't obey the laws, and our county police are having to be dispatched out there for miscellaneous type complaints. So, Councilman, you're 100% right, and allow you to follow up, and then we'll go to Councilman Smiley.
Well, you know, it's just very, very frustrating, not just in my district, but in some of y'all districts too, if you look at it close enough. You got these children running around in their underwear, running up and down the street selling crack cocaine and heroin like it's popcorn, and we're going to start talking about having police deal with trailers. It's a bunch of fools as far as I'm concerned, and I want to break it up before it gets started.
Councilman Smiley?
No, personally in my district, we're calling for all of it. All right, we're calling for everything. That's what the laws are out there for. We can say don't enforce the speeding, don't enforce the stop signs, don't enforce this, wait for somebody to get shot. I mean, recently I had one shot right up the street from me. The person who lived around the street from me that shot, the one that got shot, lived in the next community. All right? But laws are laws, and it all has to go to quality of life. We all ran and trying to protect the quality of life. It all goes towards that. Now, I wasn't going to say anything about Glasgow Park, but since you raised it, let me tell you this. You know, it's like I had an argument with a state trooper. Passing on the right, passing on the shoulder. Why you ticket the Chevy, but the dark bus can run up the shoulder for 3 miles to get to the bus stop? I stopped at Glasgow Park a few weeks ago to attend a cancer walk that I was helping sponsor. There were 4 or 5 different events. All the pavilions were rented. The sides, the no parking areas, they were loaded. And the county police that were working down there extra duty were parked at those no parking signs in with everyone else. There was no room. But how do you send the message that Monday through Thursday, you can't park there, but on the weekends, you can park there because our own law enforcement's parking there. So if it's a problem that we can't handle, then let's pull the signs up out of there and let the people park. Pave the curbing along to make the roads wider, let them park there, whatever. But you can't say Monday through Thursday you can't do it, but Friday through Sunday we're going to be busy, so everybody parks there. You know, it can't have the do as I say, not as I do. We're sending a conflicting message. So as far as Glasgow Park, I agree, pull the signs up and let our officers go do other things other than worrying about giving tickets for people parked on the side of the road down there.
Councilman Street.
We arguing?
No.
But we're not arguing.
No, we're not arguing. I think okay. We're in agreement.
And all I'm saying is, in the matter with parks, you know, if we pay a police officer versus what we're paying a police officer versus some college students in the summer, as Councilman Redder says, do the math.
Okay. Look, we agree. I go back 40 years. I came out of my house, all 4 tires of mine were cut. Called the police. Police came, pulled up. First thing the officer said when they got out, you're parked facing the wrong way. I said, so are you, can I cut your tires? All right, so, you know, we send the message that we send. I think we're in agreement. Just how do we get there and how do we get the money?
I just wanted to be as innovative and creative as we possibly can. And I think the point that you're making there is meritorious, because what I don't want, get your car broken into in the city of Wilmington, you get a number. Okay? Let something happen, and a lot of things that traditionally we have police response to, you get a case number, call your insurance company or whatever. And if we don't bring in some other mechanisms and devices, then, you know, we're going to end up following, going down the same path, and that's where I just don't want us to be.
I'm done.
Councilman Hollins?
I just want to acknowledge that Councilman Street and Councilman Smiley are in agreement.
Oh, it's rolling.
I sort of assume that the police department prioritized these calls. So I think that if there's a call about a trail, I don't think anyone's going to like make that priority run and rush to that trailer. I just think that there are things that they're going to respond to immediately, and other things they're going to respond to when they get around to it. I think that's how they sort of manage these calls by priority.
Absolutely.
Anything else under other?
Since he and I agree. Most.
I'm so glad I brought it up.
Your fault. Okay. Hold on for public comment. Councilman Howard. I knew that. I just need to get it in.
Whoever. Just something that really would have been with 911. And I don't know exactly. I had a guy come work on a tire yesterday, a tractor tire. We had to pull it off. And he said he was going over the bridge, the new Ross Bridge, and he saw a vehicle pulled over. And he called 911. He seen a guy walking up the bridge. And I guess the person that responded said, what do you think he's doing there? He said, I don't know what he's doing there. Do you think a policeman should be dispatched? He said, well, if I was, I'd have somebody check out what he's doing, because nobody's supposed to be walking on the bridge anyway. But he didn't like the response. It's really a constituent that lives in your district.
I think you know who he is, but...
No, but I will.
You will in a few minutes. But I just didn't like how the response either, because if somebody's on that bridge, and knowing some that have gone off the Reedy Point bridge recently, I think somebody better get there quick as can be and not have to be discussing it much more than that.
Anything else under other? Hearing none. Public comment? Sir, if you would, identify yourself.
Hi, my name is Don Patridge. I'm the president of the Penrose Civic Association. Make a comment on your concerns about the police officers having to deal with the trailers. Is it possible you guys could do it through land use code road enforcement?
No.
No, it's on the road.
It's a state.
It would have to be on the
front. Plus, I realize that they're closed at 5.
We don't have jurisdiction over state property.
Any other public comment? Anything for good of the order? Okay. Motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Made and second adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And I'd like to thank Councilman Street for being the only smoker to attend that meeting.
he never said anything either.
He even approved that.
Did we get all the samples back? I don't know.